This is why I love our listeners. One or two of you pointed out that going between the traffic is called filtering, and I just checked it out. It is not actually illegal as long as it is done responsibly. Narran Beach full of loose dogs. It's ridiculous. Nobody doing anything about it. Another, the Backstrand in Falkara. Dogs are never on leads. And Melinda, and I get Melinda, she's watching on Facebook, and I do appreciate where you're coming from, Melinda. More dog hating. Where do dog owners let dogs run around freely if they can't do so on the beach? Did the dog attack? Was the dog growling? This woman sounds like a drama queen. And as I say, Melinda, I am sympathetic to where you're coming from, and we don't necessarily want Donegal to be a county for no dogs. But also, if you've got a person or a child that is afraid of dogs, and many, many are, they may come across like a drama queen or a king, but it is a genuine fear, and an uncontrolled dog coming in your direction, if you're fearful of them, it's not very, very pleasant. Okay. Brian Cannon, Director of Services, Road and Transportation with Donegal County Council, is with us now. Brian, thanks for your time this morning. Really appreciate it.
Good morning, Greg. Thank you for having me on.
Good. Now, we are getting into a process now, and I just want to make sure it's clear, because I see some reports where it's maybe not made absolutely clear, or maybe I misunderstand what's going on here. This is not a cross-the-board reduction of speed limits across the county, is it? This is an audit of all of our roads and the current speed limit, and to see if they can be varied within the parameters that's been outlined, if they should or shouldn't be varied. Is that correct? In other words, every 80 doesn't go to 60, every 100 doesn't go to 80. That's not what we're talking about. Can you clear that up for me, just so I'm clear?
Yeah, okay, Greg. The government, or the Oireachtas, passed the Road Traffic Act back in April of 2024, and it set out that it was going to change the default speed limits on many of our roads across the country. So the default speed limit for national secondary roads was going to go from 100 down to 80.
Across the board?
Across the board at present, unless exceptions apply. The default on our local roads will go from 80 down to 60. And then there'll be default changes within our towns and villages, where many of the areas in our towns and villages would go to 30 kilometres per hour. However, these changes are being rolled out on a phased basis. So there's three phases. So the first phase, which is the phase that we're launching a public consultation on today, is that local roads will go, the default on local roads will go from 80 down to 60, unless there are circumstances that comply with guidelines that would allow that local road to retain.
Right, so I mean, not. This is only examples, Brian, and I'm not trying to predetermine the outcome of anything, but many of the roads, for instance, in Inishowen are 80. Some might even want to see some of them go to 100. Is it likely that all of those 80s will become 60s, or is that where it might be proposed that we'll retain the 80 because they're sort of major infrastructural routes and are safe enough to accommodate 80?
Okay, so I suppose, Greg, and that's the purpose of the public consultation, is this one is concerned with local roads. So local roads going from 80 to 60. You refer to Inishowen. And Inishowen generally has regional roads.
Okay, I get you. Understood.
The regional roads are the main through routes that you're talking about. And the consultation isn't in reference to those. Those roads would be staying at their existing speed limit at present. It's the local roads, so local Brilliant. Primaries, secondaries, tertiaries. And that is what this consultation is about. And when it comes to Donegal as a whole, having looked at the guidelines, there are four sections that are proposed to be retained at 80, and that requires a special speed limit. So if we don't do this action, they will, as a default, go to 60. So the four sections in the county that are being proposed to be retained at 80 are a section of the Ardra to Ardahi Road down in southwest Donegal, a section of the old Sligo Road from Donegal, the old Sligo to Donegal Road between Lahey and Ballantra, a section of the Racecourse Road from Muff to the border with Derry, and a section of the Windhill Road. That's the road that goes from Bridge End across to the Burnfoot to Muff Road. All other local roads within the county will default to 60. Okay.
Now, I, in my efforts to try and make it clearer, in my opening question, I actually made it more complicated. The phase one, which you've quite rightly pointed out now, Brian, is the reduction in rural local roads. The phase two, as it relates to urban and national road speed limits, that will follow in 2025. So our focus now is just on, and we've all seen the memes on the internet, haven't we, of you pull off the main road, it's on a back road and there's grass going up the middle of it and there's an 80 kilometre sign here. It's those and the other smaller roads, anything that's not a national road or an urban area is in the mix here.
Yeah, all our local roads, not our regional roads,
yep,
which are also our arterial routes, in particular in the rural areas, but our local roads. And I suppose one of the things we I listened with interest to your discussion with Inspector McGonigal earlier, you know, this ties into road safety.
And engineering, yeah. This is the engineering side of it, isn't it?
Unfortunately, our numbers are all going the wrong way in the country when it comes to road safety. By doing this default, changing the default and changing this phase will actually increase the amount of signage on our roads advising motorists of the default speed limit. So if you can imagine travelling on the national road or a regional road, when you turn off that road, there will be a sign that later say 60 kilometres an hour as the speed limit, or there'll be the rural speed limit sign, which is the white circle with diagonal black lines, which indicates that you're into the default of 60 kph. But also on the main route that you're traveling on, after you pass one of those junctions, there'll be a repeater sign advising you of what that speed limit is. So this will actually help reinforce the speed limits on the main and arterial routes as well, because you'll have those repeaters. That's for the people coming off the local road. Once they turn on to that more main road, they'll get a reminder as to the speed limit that applies there.
And you know what else will get a reminder? A lot of modern cars have they have cameras that take the recommended, they take the speed limit from the signs. And if you pull out of a junction off, you can find yourself where there's no sign and it doesn't know what the speed limit is. That's going to become more relevant as people get more modern cars because they've they've speed sign recognition. So how do we determine what is how do we determine what is a local road, a rural road, or a national road as lay people?
Yeah. So as part of the consultation, Greg, there's a number of ways that people can get involved. We've got a consultation portal, an online portal, consult.donegal.ie. And you can go in there and look at all of the documentation in relation to these proposed amendments. And in there, there's the maps of the roads that are proposed to be retained at 80. There's the text of the speed limits, of the proposed speed limit bylaws. But there's also maps in there that show what are all of the local roads in County Donegal. So people will be able to log in there and see what the local roads are. Another simple way, if you're out on the road and the road signage, you'll see nameplates on different roads. So the road, as you turn off a road, you'll see L. Maybe it could be 4 or 5 digits. That indicates that's a local road. On the regional roads, there'll be an R, so it could be R259 or R252, etc. And then the national roads, another way of, on the national roads, you've got the green signs. So that's the national primary and national secondary. So they have an N on the front of them on the road signage. That's another way.
Okay. So in terms of what we have an input into as part of this consultation, is it whether or not we agree or disagree with the 4 selected routes, or what is the scope of the public consultation?
Yeah. So it's whether or not you agree with those 4 selected routes when it comes to local roads. Or whether that the public believes that there should be other roads taken into account. And all of the submissions, both from the public and from our statutory consultees, which includes in Garda Síochána, will be consolidated into a report that will be presented to elected members. Now, I'd also, I suppose, like to add, Greg, in addition to the local road consultation, there are some other speed limit amendments that are also included as part of this consultation. So there's 3 sections on the national road that we're looking to regularise the speed limit on. So those 3 sections of national road are generally in urban areas. So it's reducing the speed from 80 kilometres per hour to 60 kilometres per hour on the N56 Business Park Road in Letterkenny. So that's from the Knocknamona roundabout down towards where CETA and Zeus are. That's currently at 80, to reduce that down to 60. And also on the four-lane road from the Polestar to the Dry Arch, to confirm that as a 60-kilometre-per-hour road. And also on the Castle Finn side of Lufford, adjusting the start point for the 60-kilometre-an-hour speed limit. In addition to that, there are housing estates in 36 towns and villages right across the county that are being proposed as 30-kilometre-per-hour speed zones. So that's the three elements.
And I mean, we can talk, people can be cynical, I understand that, and talk about, oh yeah, but what about the enforcement and people ignore it and what have you. But whether it's instant or over time, even the absence, I think even in the absence of enforcement, it's inevitably going to change people's driving habits. The speed will drop, whether we like to admit that or not. We're not consistently going to drive at double the speed limit. Do you know that sort of way? It'll pull it back, you would hope. Okay. And then, of course, we'll talk then about phase two, which is going to be interesting. Then again, in relation to phase two, do we know the terms and conditions there? Will that be, again, blanket proposals to release, review 100 to 80, but maybe, you know, Bala Buffet to Donegal Town being retained in 100? Is that the same kind of process? And I'm just picking an example there. Going to be the same sort of process next time round?
I'll talk about phase two just in relation to phase one as well. Whilst I said that you can go on the consult.donegal.ie portal, in addition to that, paper copies of all of the documentation will be available in all of our public service centres in Cairndonagh, Donegal Town, Letterkenny, Milford and Clonleah, as well as in the Base Enterprise Centre in Stranorlar and in County House in Lufford. And then people can make a submission following that.
And a couple of callers saying about the cost of replacing traffic signs. Look, at the government believe this is going to be significant in saving people's lives. They are paying for the replacement of these signs. They're funding it, and there's going to be extra signs. So that is it's going to be a significant spend. Whether people, the public, believe that a waste or not, that's up to each individual.
Yes, exactly. I would agree, Greg. And I would agree in your comment in relation to the normal. We talk about the new normal post-COVID. There will be a new normal when it comes to speed limits. And then obviously there will be extreme behaviours that lie outside of the normal. Those will become more extreme, or maybe those extremes will be attenuated to a certain extent. When it comes to phase two, Greg, which will be next year, and we'll be again inviting people to submit their comments and give their feedback, that will focus on the National Secondary Road. So that's in Donegal, it's only the N56, the road that runs from Donegal Town out towards Killybegs, round to Glenties, Ardra, up through and Clonleah, round through Balcarra, Priestley, down into. So that's the N56. So that the current default will change based on the legislation sometime next year to 80 kilometres per hour for that. And there'll be sections that'll be assessed as to whether or not that they should be retained at 100. And then The big part will be the urban, because the urban's cores change into 30 kilometres per hour. And obviously where they start and stop and how arterial routes around towns would also be designated will be important. So that will be next year. Mm.
Listen, I've learned a lot today, even in that. And I think there's no point coming on and pretending someone knows everything, because I simply don't. So then the roads, the one example I clumsily gave then, they're national primary routes, are they, Brian?
That's national primary
routes. And is there any proposal to look at speed limits on those?
There's no changes as a result of the Road Traffic Act.
Okay, that's interesting. So national primary roads are off the table. Phase two, the urban and the national road speed limits, that's just particularly the NV56 that you talked of. And currently at the moment, get onto the council's website. There's a lot of documentation there. I was having a glance at it whilst listening to Brian intently, of course. This is as it relates to rural local road speed limits. Drop to 60 kilometres per hour unless specified by a 2024 bylaw. There are some proposals there. You can add in your say. It's not just the public that are having their say. The RSA, did you say, on Garda Síochána and others, other vested interests, will formulate what the actual final outcome might be.
Yes, that's it, Greg. Yeah.
All right, Brian, listen, thanks for your patience in helping me learn. I do appreciate
it.
Take care. All right, Brian. And sometimes, you know, if I come at something with my lack of understanding, maybe others are in the same boat, and hopefully we all learned a little bit there. I hope I haven't in any way complicated things further. Right, you'll remember since work was ongoing in Donegal Town, a lot of money spent in terms of changing the traffic layout, but also in tarting up the diamond to making it more pretty. And as part of that, it was designated by the council as a pedestrian area. And anyone familiar with the diamond, you'll know what it's like. You'll often see motorbikes too parked on the diamond. I never, in all my time, my 40 plus years, I just saw it as part of the diamond and never found it an inconvenience or anything. Certainly no suggestion of any trouble, but certainly also no suggestion of people being blocked or anything. I've walked around it with prams and all manner of things, but still it remains a little bit controversial. Brian Cannon is a biker who uses the diamond in Donegal Town, and bikers have been meeting with local authority representatives to discuss this. Hi, Brian. Good morning to you.
Hello. A different Brian Cannon to the last Brian Cannon.
That's all right. It's all Brian Cannons today, isn't it? So tell us about the meeting and what came from. What was the mood of the meeting and what kind of views were exchanged?
Well, it came out, I suppose, for starters, the diktat from the council came out to say that they wanted the cooperation of bikers not to use the diamond. That came out basically 2 days before the diamond was opened. So there had been no, if you want cooperation, then you need to have both sides having a discussion. So there's no discussion at all. It just landed in everyone. So that meant that the diamond filled with bikes the next Sunday, because it's basically people standing up for themselves.
But there also was a charity run that weekend as well, wasn't there?
There was a charity run then, yeah. Came down from OMA. They went into the diamond then too and stopped in. About 40 or 50 bikes stopped in because they heard that. And they weren't going to come to Donegal, but they came that day then because they knew there'd be people about, and they went in, they bought their coffees and their ice creams and whatever, and on they went. And then a couple of weeks later then, the council then said that there was going to be a traffic warden on and there were going to be signs in the diamond. It came out from the council that they'd contacted the motorcycle clubs and that that they had been talking to them. But I knew rightly, there's no club, there's no individual club, there's no individual group, there's no spokesperson. So I offered my service. I sent an email into the council. Says, look, if you want somebody to explain what the crack is on the diamond, I'm willing to tell you, you know. And then apart from that, other people got in contact with councillors. Councillors ended up organising a meeting, and so we went in then last Monday into Donegal Town, and there were a couple of executives from the council and the local councillors. And the mood was great. There was no bother at all. We went in informative. Myself, postmistress from Rosnoula, and another fellow fish factory worker from Dunkinelly. Mm-hmm. And we went in and we explained the case. We said, look, we're here as representative. Well, I said I was there as a representative of the people of Donegal, the businesses of Donegal, and as a person who goes into the diamond on the bike. I wasn't a representative of any group or anything, and the same, the other two were the same. So that was where we went into.
Go ahead. Keep going, Brian.
The council offered the car park at the back of the Bank Ireland, said, look, if you want to park there and walk into the diamond. And there was no... We couldn't agree to anything, so we left them the meeting fairly good, and you know, said, look, that's where we stand, that's where you stand, that's fair enough. Then yesterday morning, then the council put out, they said that there had been a compromise reached. Mm-hmm. The compromise that they published was no compromise at all. It was what they had done a presentation of what they wanted the diamond to be and what they expected of it, and so that was basically all that came out as their compromise was their presentation and saying that we had agreed to it. So we weren't very happy about it.
So as it stands then, things are the same. Bikers aren't allowed to park on the diamond any longer, and they've been offered the car park at the back of the Bank of Ireland. Like, That it is close. There's quite quick access to the diamond from it, but that doesn't really sort of fit into the. I don't know if culture is the right word.
The whole reason that the diamond works and the diamond fills with bikes is because there's a centre of three roads. It's where, you know, somebody come from Letterkenny to Killybegs will come through the town, see is there anybody about, stop for a chat, maybe organise a run away somewhere in the same. People come from Sligo. People come from Belfast. There were a good few people from Belfast there last weekend. And they made it the destination. They came down, they had their lunch in Donegal and toured about the rest of the country on their way home again. You know, so it's not that you could just... If all the bikes were in the car park out the back, people wouldn't see anybody about, you know, and you just drive through. Whenever the diamond was closed, there was no bikes in the town. People just didn't meet up. There was no... it's a social event. It's kind of, you just don't know who's going to be there. Call in, see who's about, and that's kind of the way it is, you know.
So
that's why it works. I've been in about the diamond. I've socialised about the diamond my whole life when I was a young fella on bicycles, and, you know, and that was kind of... So there's no... I don't know. Apparently, the roads engineer was getting people complaining to him about the bikes.
Mm.
Now, there's very, very few. There's two separate online petitions. One has 500, or one had this nearly 2 weeks, which is 572 signatures on it, and the other had 344 in favour of the bikes and the diamond. That was one was set up by a business in the town, and so it's just it's kind of come out of the blue, and then to have. To be told that you're not allowed without any contact at all. Nobody came down and walked around and asked people. There's been no survey on who's on the diamond, who uses it, and it's very very much just a diktat. There you go, you're finished, you know, and listen to a few people that will complain, but won't listen to people that are in favour of it, you know. It's public. My interest in it was from day one when the diamond started. There was talk about there's money given to upgrade the diamond. I got involved in the public consultation. There was a table on the diamond, put my views across. Then the planning came out then in July 22, and there was public consultation on that. I put in a submission to that, told other people about it. They put in their submissions. Then that disappeared. There's no mention of it at all. Even when the diamonds were being worked at, I went out to the council offices to see what the plans were, the revised plans, and there wasn't even a copy of the revised plans in the council offices.
Yeah.
So nobody knew exactly what was going to happen to it, you know?
I just see this space, and as I say, I just see this space as a public space. Now, if there was agro or spinning wheels or things like that there, yeah, I could get where you're coming from. But I've spent many a summer in Donegal Town. It just, to me, it added to the sort of buzz and vibrancy of it. It's a space for everybody.
Of course.
Kids love bikes. They're up on the bikes getting the pictures taken. Older people love them. They can be nostalgic about the first bike they had. Is there a friendly enough old bunch, Brian? I don't know. I mean, you should look wearing silly, parking your bikes behind the bank and sitting around the diamond in your leathers hanging around your waist.
Well,
you know,
one of the problems that they think there is, one that they listed out in there, is that, you know, kids could maybe burn themselves on the exhaust and maybe toss a bike on top of themselves. But that's more likely to happen. It's more likely to happen at the back car park where there's nobody watching the bikes.
I know, but
you know,
listen,
it's more likely.
Like, I don't want to sound like an old man, but listen, we can't be afraid of anything, everything. I mean, we have to be able to get the children out, let them engage with the bike, and we as parents will say, and don't go near the back of the bike, the exhaust might be out. You know what I mean? Like, this is,
at the end of the day, it's a roundabout. It's the middle of a roundabout. There's two lanes of traffic travelling around the whole lot. There shouldn't be kids running wild around it. You know, it's less dangerous if there's a bit of a blockage stop, you know. And there's no problem. Kids get up, get their photograph taken. There's a whole heap of people that socialise that don't have bikes. They come in every Sunday, sit in for the chat and, you know, just meet up. And it's kind of like a pub back in the 1980s. You don't know who's going to be in there. You just go in the door and you don't know who's and where you'll end up. You could chat to somebody. They say they've never been up around the Blue Stack Drive. Well, sure, come on. We'll go up a nice wee loop outside Donegal. There, we're up there now and you know, show the area. Maybe we'll run down to Sleeve League or something like that. You know, it's not... But as far as parking is concerned, people say, well, why didn't you just park in the car park? There's actually the only laws about motorbike parking are... there's the bylaws, the national statutory instrument. Motorcycles and pedal cycles are prohibited from parking in disparking places. And then section 28, a motorcycle or pedal cycle shall not be parked during business hours in a disc parking place. And then Donegal bylaws then 2004, a person shall not park or cause to be parked a motorcycle other than in the parking bay indicated for that purpose by surface or other signs or markings. So basically it means that you're not, unless you're parked in a motorcycle designated area, you're parking illegally. And there's six parking spaces.
I get you, I know that, and it's crazy. I just, Brian, I just wonder what we want this county to be in the future. We're chasing bikers away. Dog owners are starting to not feel welcome. Camper vans are chased wherever they go. Now, I get this, irresponsible parking and all that. Don't get me wrong, but what are we leaving? What are we leaving behind? What is it so that we all can walk around wrapped in cotton wood and bubble wrap, making sure nothing happens to us?
Well, the council, they want events to happen in the tent on the Diamond, and that's great. But there's never been an event in the Diamond that was cancelled because the bikes were there. Bikesmen, there's an event on, they won't go in. Even there's an example now through Killybegs there last week, and the seafood shack's gone now. It's up the town, and you kind of drive in, and it added so much to the town. You then you got the smell of cooking fish.
Who moved that?
There was 20 or 30 people. Well, yeah. There you go. That's the. And as far as the public consultation ends of it, that was where I was. I wanted to get engaged in the whole process. There was so little information about what was happening on the Diamond. They say apparently it was from day one they were going to ban the bikers, but they never mentioned it until the day it opened, basically.
All right, okay. And I have to go. I know there's also a concern about oil from vehicles and all that kind of stuff, but I guarantee you. I guarantee you there's going to be more chewing gum and fag butts on that Diamond.
It's if you go in underneath the tent, it needs to be washed already because the rain isn't even washing away coffee stains and all that. They've put substandard stone in it. They put less quality stone than they had before, you know, and now they want to keep it. And actually, the only one thing that was left out of the thing that the council said was the compromise, it was word for word everything that was there. So thing. The only thing that was left out of it was the cost of it, because I think they're embarrassed about the cost of it. They got 250,000 of a grant, and they ended up having to spend another 600,000 of council money on it.
Well, it does look lovely, but I mean, at the end of the day, it should be.
It looks lovely, but it doesn't look 850,000 more than it did before it started, and there's going to be more maintenance in it now.
All right, Brian. I get you.
Okay.
Thanks, Brian. Brian Cannon there is a biker. Now, that's. This is not a news bulletin, okay, so I can sort of say what I feel as well. I could be wrong, though. I never saw any bother in it. I like the vibrancy. I don't think we should be afraid of everything. The notion that bikes shouldn't be there because someone could touch an exhaust when there's cars parked all over the place and bikes parked all over the place and cars passing left, right and centre, and there's crossings that are like, are they pedestrian crossings? No, they're not. Who is right away? All that kind of stuff. So, listen, are we going to get to the point where we live in just this blank, sterile environment that no one does anything for the fear of something? I don't know. But anyway, as I say, I'm always open to have my views changed, and I'd really appreciate people who perhaps can articulate as to why it's the right decision to come on the show. And of course, I'll be open to have my mind changed and be very respectful. Right. Okay. We're joined in studio now by two guests, Amy McCrory, Youth and Community Engagement Worker with Jigsaw Donegal. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
Thank you so much for joining us. And Tara Toy, Youth Advocate with Jigsaw as well.
Hello.
Jigsaw Donegal. Hi, Tara. Thanks so much for calling. Into us. Right, the Rural Reality looks into the survey findings of what young people in Donegal said the barriers are to help or seeking help or accessing services for young people. I suppose I'll start with you, Amy.
Mm-hmm.
What are really what's coming through in this survey?
Yeah, absolutely. Firstly, I want to say a massive thanks to you, Greg, for having us come on today. I was talking to Tara about when we first started this project. We couldn't have imagined getting this platform to come on and speak. So thank you for your continued support. Listening to the voice of young people, it matters so much to us. So it's a great opportunity, and we're delighted to be here. So this report actually was spearheaded by young people for young people. We conducted a survey with Donegal Youth Council. It was around 89 young people aged 12 to 18. And we asked them in their thoughts and their opinions, what were the barriers, if any, to help seeking or accessing services in Donegal? but specifically for young people from rural communities or those that were living in rural communities. So that's what we did, and we got such rich data that then our wonderful youth advocates then analysed and then created this report.
Mm. So Tara, what do you see is the I think four main themes really have been identified here.
Yeah, so from the report itself, we came across then the four main themes. So it was stigma around like accessing different services about your mental health, and even bringing up the topic at all about mental health is sort of stigmatised. And then the fear as well about going on and trying to like maybe get some help or seeking these services.
And I think those two, before you go on to the four, I think those two can also be part of a problem in that, you know, if you're suffering from anxiety or depression or whatever it might be, you can sort of, you will use things to sort of maybe defer facing up to it or seeking help. And the fear of doing so is one, but also the stigma, really, because it is a perception, because I don't believe there is a stigma about seeking help for your mental health anymore. I don't know what you think, Tara.
Yeah, I suppose it has come a long way in the past while, and a lot of that has been to Jigsaw, as well as being out in the community, being out in the schools, trying, like, just making it a topic of conversation and not having people sort of shy away from the conversation, as, like, we've seen before. Like, even maybe when I started secondary school, like, it wouldn't really be talked about, but then when I left secondary school, you know, it was more talked about. There was more, like, workshops coming in, people from the outside coming in to sort of talk about it, and that's really good. Like, we are starting to break down the stigma, but I do see it's still there, you know?
Yeah.
It is still present, and, like, you know, some people do just see it as something that can't be talked about and something that can't
I don't disagree with you at all, but I just think there are nice individuals and then there are unpleasant ones, and they might pick on you because of your race or your gender or your mental health as well, and we need to sort of get those people on board. Awareness of services and accessibility is almost different, because that catches everybody, particularly the ones that have overcome the stigma and the fear.
Yeah.
We need to make sure the services are there for them, Amy.
Yeah, absolutely, because again, I mean, when we look at the survey, 89% of young people said that stigma was sometimes a barrier or a major barrier to help seeking, which is a large percentage, but then also 52% said that a lack of awareness of services. Mm-hmm. So, you know, young people are saying, yes, we understand it's okay to talk and it's okay to seek help, but then there was an element of confusion or not knowing where to go.
Yeah.
So that was something that actually we were really curious about, and really it was useful for us to know actually then in our commitments, what do we need to do better? More promotion of our online services, more visibility.
I think if you Google something, there's a lot comes up. If you're new to it, you know, we take note of things that are relevant to us. So if you've come of age or you've had an experience that has triggered mental health issues, that might be the first time you come across Jigsaw in the searches or something. It's like, well, is this for me? And you can see where the, you know, we all have a job in getting the message out there and making sure people know precisely what services are available.
Absolutely. And that's, I mean, when you think about information, young people now have information exactly go on their phone and they can get so much information, which can be a really useful tool. Like, you can Google Jigsaw Donegal and get straight onto our page. You can refer yourself into the service. You get all of the information, but also that can be very overwhelming as well if you don't know how to navigate it. So absolutely. So it's, I suppose,
and tell your young people, please don't take mental health advice from TikTok and other platforms, because it's actually designed to not to help you in many cases. Accessibility, Tara, what does that look like?
Yeah, I suppose all the youth advocates, we kind of come from rural backgrounds ourselves, and we're all sort of in the middle of nowhere and we're scattered around Donegal. And so we all kind of realised that accessibility to the services is a huge issue. Like, public transport in Donegal is little to none. And so we
kind of... So in other words, if you try and access services in Letterkenny, you've got one experience. If you're in Carn Donegal, you've got potentially another.
Exactly. I suppose the system we have is kind of catered towards people that are like in the towns, and people that are more rural can't really be accessing these services. And online is great, but online can really only go so far.
Yeah.
So it's better to be like in the place. So from the report as well, we've seen that accessibility was a huge issue, and that did come up a lot through different responders. So that's sort of another topic that we focused on. And then we're like, in our demands as well, we set out that we would like the public transport systems to be looked at and see if they can be improved and can be more present, because the systems that we have they're good, but they're not really reliable and they're not really enough. And so we're kind of calling for better, more reliable services.
And awareness of those services as well, too. I know when we talk of the lack of awareness of services, we're talking about the mental health services, but even the transport services as well. Yes. I think there's this notion that there is quite an infrastructure there, but it's for older people as well, too, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
So actions, what can we do, Amy?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, I think when we look at these four themes, for us, we were looking at them as like a direction of travel for us. So they're informing in Jigsaw. We've set some things that we want to do, like increased visibility campaigns so that young people, when they look at the service, can see themselves represented. But also promotion of our online services. We have Jigsaw Live Chat. So for maybe those young people that maybe the journey is far for them to come into the hub, that is available for them.
It opens a line of communication, which in and of itself might not be the end of the journey, but it's that's important. They know that there. There's a listening voice. It might not be exactly what we want right now.
Yeah.
But it starts something, hopefully.
Yeah. And then just with regards to the stigma, I think it's a real collective responsibility. It's about actually having conversations, you know, in your GAA clubs and at the kitchen table, in your gyms, in Jigsaw session rooms. Like, Greg, you having us on today, like giving us a platform, this is all helping reduce the stigma, encouraging all young people that they can come, and not even to Jigsaw, if they help seek talking to a one good adult in their life, if they have a football coach that they trust, a youth worker that they trust, just actually being able to say, I can talk to someone about my mental health and I'm important and it's important to me and I should be valued in that.
Fantastic stuff. Tara, where can people see the it's been laid out really easy, actually, in terms of accessibility, but where can people have a look at it? And so, I always think it's good for us, maybe, with influence on young people's lives, that we know what this is about, too, because we can be the signposts.
Exactly, yeah. It's across all of our social medias. It's up online. You can find it on our website. It's really easy to find. It's well-structured and laid out, so it's easy to read as well. I would recommend everyone have a look at it, just so you sort of familiarise yourself with the issues that are, and so you can see as well the work that we've done and kind of help us as well reduce the stigma and work with us and promote our online services.
And young fellas too might be more reluctant to seek help.
Yeah, but I think to end, like if we were going to end on, there's definitely an element of progress and hope amongst all this. Like I was actually looking at our referral rates, and in 2023 we had the highest number of referrals come to Jigsaw. And yes, there is a disparity in the gender, but it is getting better.
Yeah.
So if we look at 2022-2023 in Jigsaw Donegal, you were looking maybe at around, let me just double check, 16 males per month accessing services, whereas now we're up to, in 2024, 19 males a month.
And that's a double-edged sword. It might point to an increase in people needing assistance, but also means the awareness message and the stigma and fear barriers have been overcome.
Yeah.
And we'll keep doing it. Keep plugging away. Well done, Tara. Thank you very much indeed. You are a very good youth advocate. That's clear. And also Amy McCrory, Youth and Community Engagement Worker with Jigsaw Donegal. And if Jigsaw, how do you access the services?
Absolutely. So for those out there, Jigsaw is the National Centre for Youth Mental Health. So we are a charity and we are for a free and confidential mental health support service for young people aged 12 to 25 in Donegal. We provide one-to-one therapeutic support that can be face-to-face in our hub on Pierce Street in Pierce Road in Letterkenny, but also over Zoom, online. And if you want to refer, you can now refer on Jigsaw's website. So you can go to jigsaw.ie and look up Jigsaw Donegal and refer yourself directly, or you can just give us a call or give us an email. And would really encourage anyone out there that needs support. We are here for you.
And also too, I'd love it down the line a conversation where we speak to moms and dads and caregivers and outline to them that there is no stigma in them realising that maybe a young person in their life might need to have a little chat. Because I do wonder if they go, well, you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Greg. And actually, that's a really good point you've made, because we actually see not only are more young people coming into our Jigsaw service, but we have more curious, engaged parents coming in.
Yeah, exactly.
Parents and guardians coming into the session.
Just a lot of parents and guardians might not want to face that, and it could be a barrier to their young person getting an early intervention, which can have really dramatic, positive results.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Amy McCrory, Tara Toy, both of you, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you, Greg.
Kieran O'Connor is a senior analyst at Institute for Strategic Dialogue. He joins me on the programme now. Kieran, thanks for your time.
Morning, Greg. How are you?
I am doing good. Right. So there's a survey been conducted, of course, by the election watchdog, the Electoral Commission. It revealed a high percentage of anti-immigration conspiracy theorist views amongst voters, including the establishment was replacing Irish people with more obedient immigrants. And it was done quite well in that it sort of got people's answers at various degrees and then sort of had an overview of whether it was a yes or a no, really. What do you see as the key findings, Ciarán?
Well, I suppose as the findings are laid out in the newspapers there today, the most, I suppose, headline grabbing one perhaps is that a fifth of respondents believe politicians want more immigration to bring in obedient voters, as they call them, who will vote for them in future elections. And a similar number of people believe that there's a replacement of white Irish people underway with non-white migrants. For researchers like myself, what that word replacement means or harks towards larger themes is what's known as the Great Replacement conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy theory that makes that claim that majority white countries are undergoing a deliberate planned change by either national governments or international organizations like the UN to replace white majority countries. This is a conspiracy theory that was one of the main motivating ideologies for the attacker in Christchurch, the mosque shootings there in March 2019, and a number of other terrorist attacks too. So it's a conspiracy theory that's been popularized over the last few years mm-hmm. by white nationalists and other varieties of extremists like this. And I suppose what's concerning, or kind of what it highlights to me, is how these conspiracy theories have become more popular and have spread, and predominantly through, I think, online social media platforms, where I think mm-hmm. a lot of the responsibility lies for this, because people are, you know, free to engage in and search out information on different questions or concerns they have. But when you factor in the way that social media, digital media platforms are organized and run, they are essentially often prioritizing mm-hmm. sensationalist, inflammatory content. And the, I suppose, most prominent example of that time and time again are conspiracy theories like those ones I've just described.
Yeah, and of course, I can understand why you and others might label them as conspiracy theories, but for me, some of these issues have begun beyond that. In other words, there are people that genuinely believe that this is the case, and there seems to be an absence of information or education to counter that. For example, the X platform, one of the biggest platforms, biggest platforms in the world, its owner Elon Musk would be a conspiracy theorist by your definition, or not yours. I'm not saying it's you, Ciarán, don't get me wrong, because he's of the view there are parties in America that are bringing in migrants that aren't that are allowing them to vote, that shouldn't be allowed to vote, with a view to getting into power. So it kind of is beyond a conspiracy theory. It seems to be an actually established way of thinking, Ciarán.
Yeah, and when research really shows this quite clearly, that when prominent public figures, people who have a lot of influence or a lot of reach within society, so politicians is often the case, or other figures like this, when they, I suppose, endorse or espouse or support these kinds of claims and conspiracy theories, then they have what you might call something like a multiplier effect, where the spread and reach of these claims can go beyond what they may have nominally done, you know, in periods past. And that, combined with how social media platforms are designed to prioritize and recommend sensationalist, inflammatory, and often false or misleading content information, that really then leaves, I suppose, little surprise that we see such take up in kind of beliefs or support for ideologies like that. I suppose what's notable is that a lot of these kinds of conspiracy theories and beliefs and these types of claims have been increasing internationally for a number of years, and now in the last couple of years we're seeing adoption of similar beliefs in Ireland too.
All right, Ciarán, thank you so much for your time. That's Ciarán O'Connor, Senior Analyst at Institute for Strategic Dialogue. I mean, again, and I said this earlier, and I've said it to Ciarán there in terms of the language of it. I mean, there are lots of people in this country who feel that the country is designed in such a way that a lot of, you know, younger people are leaving for opportunities elsewhere. Other people are being taken in to replace them in their positions or what have you. You can call that a conspiracy theory if you like, but is there an awful lot out there? Is there an awful lot out there as a counterpoint, if you know what I mean? But anyway, I appreciate Ciarán's time, and I trust the great listeners of Highland Radio and the Northwest and beyond to be able to very clearly make up their own minds. As a previous Donegal Jigsaw Youth Advisor, it's a great organisation and helps so many young people around Donegal. I can say myself that just being on the advisory panel for 3 years helped me with my own mental health. Absolutely fantastic organisation. Hi, I'm not a biker, but in my opinion, bikers are lovely people. They never cause any bother, and it's all about showing off their bikes and comparing one to the other. Leave them alone. We like looking at them. And it is interesting because the reasons, there's certainly never any reason given that the bikers are in any way disruptive or ignorant or purposely obstructive. That's not even in the reasons as to why they're banned from the Diamond in Donegal town. When will legislators ever realise that it doesn't matter what the speed limits on various roads are? If there is no enforcement, then it's a wasted exercise. In this country, we try to fix problems by more laws without effective enforcement. It doesn't matter what the speed limit is. That being said, the majority of people observe speed limits, you see. I take your point, and I made this point to Ciarán in the earlier, not Ciarán, but Brian in the earlier conversation. The majority of people are, they do what they're told, really, effectively. Hedges need to be cut on the roads. It's not safe for walkers as it's too narrow. Cars are getting scraped due to these hedges, indeed, overgrown. The roads are, a lot of roads, I think, are, and it depends on the size of the roads, but some of the roads are reduced by about 40% in width at the moment at this time of year. And I think we all know the roads that we're talking about. Asking anyone in a modern car to drive at 60 kilometres per hour can only be to make more money for speed vans. Our speed limit was always 60 miles per hour, and that was on our bad, windy roads in our clapped out cars. Indeed. But the roads that you're talking of, the roads we're talking of here, you'd very rarely see a speed van or a Garda checkpoint or a Garda enforcement for that matter, because there are little back roads. Okay, listen, thanks so much to all of you for listening to the show. We're back tomorrow morning at 9. It's a little bit of a different Friday show because we're going to be down in Dunloe and we're broadcasting live from Super Value there. We're going to be chatting to loads of great guests, listening to some great music, having the crack tomorrow between 9 and 12. So I want you to call down and say hello, please, will you? Come in and say hello to us. We'd love to see you and we'd love a big crowd there. But for now, we have to go. Stay tuned.